Again, another blessing to be here today. Even though we go to Greater Grace, we are still church family. Amen? We are a family together because we believe in the same God. And we believe, pretty much all of us believe the same thing. You know, He is our Savior. He's our healer. He takes care of everything. So no matter what church we go to, we're still church family. Amen? Amen.
Oh, Awesome. And you know what you said about you go to a different church, we go to a different church. There's a Hispanic church that comes in right behind us. It's a different church. There's a couple of them down the street that are different churches. But each and every one of us serve the one and only living God. Amen. We are washed by the blood of our one and only Jesus Christ, and we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Shoot, that makes me want to dance and run and do the God. Yeah. Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Well, thank you for that, you guys. It's always a pleasure to have the Miller family. It really is. And, you know, I'll take this opportunity. When we're gone, Nancy and I are off, the Millers come and fill in for us. And I want to say thank you to them, for not only for Nancy and I, but for a church. As our church, we want to thank them for coming and filling in and taking care of that. That's an awesome thing they do. Amen. I agree. Okay. Let me put this away. That goes back there. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you once again, God, for the grace that you pour out on us. What we do not deserve, that you just graciously give us out of your love. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, for the wisdom that you give us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here in this pulpit once again, to be able to share the gospel and to share the Bible and to share your word, God. And if there's anybody that knows my inadequacy, Lord, it's you and me. And I'm here to tell you, God, get me out of the way. Take the words out of my mouth and replace them, Father, with the words of the Holy Spirit. Speak to me and through me to each and every one of us that are here this morning, your children. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people says, amen. Okay. Let me get my glasses on. Actually, when we were going to do this week, Nancy and I had a different thing we were going to do. We were going to do a music thing and do a little thing about where we talked about songs and the scripture for the song and all that. But things worked out that didn't get to happen. Nancy had something else she had to do, and so she was not going to be available. We just weren't going to be able to do that. And for the first time that I can remember since we've been together, she asked me to speak on a given subject, which she picked a great topic, I got to tell you. And I agree 100% with what we're about to talk about, and that is the whole armor of God. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And what I'm going to do is read through this from verse 10 through verse 18, just to read the whole thing, and then we'll go back through and unwrap it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is chapter 6, my dear, of Ephesians, and we are in starting on back through on verse 10. Verse 10, let's unwrap this a little bit. See just exactly what it says to us here. Verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In fact, let's just stop right there. I've noticed and experienced that as we go through the Bible, it's not only what it says that's important, it's what it doesn't say that's just as important. What does it say? It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does it not say? Be strong in your wisdom. Be strong in your ability. Be strong in your things that you can bring to the situation. It's not talking about that. The battle that we're in now requires the Lord to bring in his strength and his might. Verse 11 tells us why. Put on the whole armor of God that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is a spiritual war. This is something that takes place in the realm that we can't see. There are demons and angels all around. We're standing on holy ground, you know. I can tell that there are angels all around. Well, there are demons around too. And it is a holy war. And Satan is good at what he does. I mean, he is. He's good at it. He knows each and every one of us here as individuals. And he knows what buttons he can push to make us go off the rails. And, you know, he's good enough at it that once he gets one button that doesn't work so well anymore, he'll find another one, start pushing that one. Because that's his job, is to take us out of our comfort and our sense of peace and the knowledge that everything's okay because God's got the ball. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is evil in all of its manifestations that we are up against. And it goes to the point of the society. It right now in our United States of America, there's a war, a spiritual war going on. And if, you know, I'm not quite sure how it got to this radical point, but there's a clear delineation between, you got the people on this side, the right, that's us, who believe in the Word of God, who take our faith seriously, who want to be a God-fearing company. You've got the people on the left who want to take God out of everything. As far as them, God, nah, you know. They don't have a God with a capital G. They got a God, they got a batch of gods with little small g's. And they don't want to recognize God, our Father. And they're doing everything they can to make that happen. They're trying to take the Ten Commandments out of courthouses, prayer out of schools. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And you know what the truth of it is? That for the last few years, they've been able to do that because we, as God's people, have just been kind of laying low and letting that take place. With what's happened this last election, the silent majority, we'll call them, that's us, you know, we had about enough. So we're standing up and we're fighting back. We want to bring prayer back into schools. We want to be able to have the Ten Commandments on the courthouse. We want everybody in the world to know that this country is, this is God's country, you know. God's got Israel and God's got the United States. And we are here as the United States of America because God was gracious enough and allowed us to become this country that we are, this great country that we are. And what they're talking about against, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan has people that are in high places. They are. And they have the ability to put the kibosh, I guess. We'll put that on it. To hold down spirituality and the respect for the Lord and the country as a whole being a God-fearing country. The majority of the country right now is not headed in that direction. Yeah, they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to deal with God. They got a completely different agenda. The majority of which, not all, I mean, I have to be absolutely fair here, not all of their ideas are bad, but the majority of them aren't too cool, you know. The stuff that starts going directly against the Bible, and they're really pushing it, you know, that's just not right. That is just not right. But that's what we fight against. That's what we as God's children fight against on a daily basis. So, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, when I first read that, I read over it, and I read it like this: wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, when I first read over that, having done all, to stand. Okay, did I put on all my armor properly? Have I done everything that I'm supposed to do to be able to stand? But I read it again, and that's not actually what it's saying. What it's saying is this: wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that part we got right, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, that part we got right. But this is what I missed: and having done all, I missed the comma, and having done all, having put on all your armor, and having been ready to stand. That's our job. Get ready and then stand there. Now, again, and it doesn't say, and having done all, attack the situation. It doesn't say that. It says stand. We are to stand against what comes against us, and it's going to come against us. It's not a maybe so, maybe no kind of thing. It's one of those deals that it's right here, because we are going to deal with this battle all the time. It's going on all the time. Sometimes we're able to win, sometimes not so much, but the battle rages daily. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay, well, let's talk about that. What are your loins? You know, what are your loins? Well, I know that people come out of your loins. You know, it says in the Bible, such and so came out of such and so's loins, and so on and so forth. So I started doing a little research. What is the loins? Turns out the loin is this area from your bottom rib to the bottom of your tailbone. So it's this area here. So why the heck is a loin so important? So I started looking up loins. You know, things don't come in here by accident. God puts things in here for a reason. As I started looking up loins, I got an article that was written by a power lifter, a professional weightlifter, power lifter. And he was talking about the loins. And I didn't write the article down. I didn't bring it to read excerpts from, but what it basically boils down to this: the source of a power lifter's strength are in his loins. The great lifters that lift the heaviest weights and do the most awesome thing have strength in their loins. If they don't have that strength, they can't lift the big weights. This guy was talking about the fact that he himself, you know, had run into a situation he couldn't lift any more weight. And he started trying to figure out why, what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And he looked into the loins and he found out, oh, sure enough, that's the core of our strength, our loins. So, okay, what are we supposed to do with our loins? We are supposed to gird them up with truth. So what is the truth? The first thing, this whole thing starts with the foundation of truth. What is the truth? Truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Truth, Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of the living God. Truth, we are saved in Jesus' name, and we have a one-on-one relationship with God. Truth, there is nothing that's ever going to come into our lives that God hasn't looked into and said, yeah, might be a little tough on them, but they'll be better for it. Truth, that is all truth, and there is never, ever anything that we're going to go through, and I'll say it again, there is never, ever, ever anything that we're going to go through that if we give it over to God, he's not going to go through it with us. God is with us, and he is faithful every time to give us the strength that we need and the wisdom we need to make it through whatever is happening. That is the truth. We have to count on that. We can't believe the lie that Satan puts up against us when things happen in our life. And, you know, I always go back to that little cartoon. You got an angel and a devil, you know. And the angel, and I have found this to be true. The angel, for the most part, the angel will tell you the truth. He'll speak it into your ear. And then he's done. The devil on the other side, oh, he's jumping up and down and carrying on like a wild thing. Truth. God is with you in this situation. The angel whispers in your ear, God is with you in this situation. Truth. Lies. The devil's jumping up and down. Ah, God doesn't care about you. Look what you did last week. You said a dirty word. Look what you did the other day. You weren't honest with that person. What you did this. You did that. You did the other thing. Blah, 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 blah. And he's trying to mess your head up and take your focus off of the fact that, hey, did I mess up? Yeah. Have I fallen short of the glory of God? Yeah. But is God going to bail on me because I did that? No. No, not ever, not once. We are saved by grace and washed in the blood. We are his children. He is with us no matter what we go through. Do we do everything right all the time? Negative. In fact, sometimes we don't even do everything right most of the time. That's just the truth of it, you know. I love that scripture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we all have. But right behind that, he is faithful and just to correct the situation. God himself is faithful and just to correct these things. So we just have to stand and know that God's going to take care of the situation. Now, after we get our loins girt about with truth, oh, man, I'm going to have to kick it into high gear here. There's a boatload of stuff to talk about. I don't have a boatload of time, so we'll keep on trucking. Okay. The next thing we come to is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Okay. So we got our loins protected because if you're in a battle and they stick you in somewhere in here, you're done. You're going down and it's all over. The next thing we get is a breastplate. Okay, what does the breastplate protect? Protects our heart. Protects our lungs. Protects everything we've got that keeps us going and breathing and the blood pumping in our veins. Well, our breastplate is of righteousness. Well, we already know in the Bible, it says our righteousness are as filthy rags. So we're done. We can't do anything on our own. So where do we get our righteousness? If you go back just a couple of pages to Philippians, our buddy Paul has this to say about that. This is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, something that I noticed this time when I read through here, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Christ's faith is what gives us our righteousness. Not our faith, it's Christ's faith and his faithfulness. That's where our righteousness comes from. And that is the righteousness of God. So I looked a little bit more. I got curious about the righteousness of God. And I looked a little further in my Bible. This is a Schofield study Bible. And it's for people like me that don't have an education. Because what it does is it allows you, it leads you back through the Bible. And all these scholars have taken these truths and boiled them down into statements like this one right here about the righteousness of God. Here's what they have to say. The righteousness of God is neither an attribute of God nor the changed character of the believer, but Christ himself, who fully met in our stead and behalf on every demand of the law, and who is, by the act of God, called imputation, and has made unto us righteousness. The believer in Christ is now by grace shrouded under so complete a blessed and righteousness that the law from Mount Sinai can find neither fault nor diminution therein. This is that which is called the righteousness of God by faith. So we don't have to worry about being righteous. God's righteous for us. When things start to come down on us, all we got to do is say, hey, it's not me. My righteousness is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where my righteousness is. I have no claim of anything of my own. All my strength, all my righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. And next, your feet. And your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now let's think about that, okay? Now we're putting on armor. And armor is normally put on for a battle, and yes, it is. And in most cases, if you're going to battle, you're attacking. You would have on, here it says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It does not say have your feet shod with the shoes of anxiety and anger or shod with attack mode or anything like that. We're not in the attack mode. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We're not looking for trouble. We're looking to deliver the message that the Lord gave to us, which is, I'm a loving Lord. You don't have a chance. I died for you. Believe on and in me, and through that you will have eternal life and peace that passes understanding. That's where our glory is in the promises of God. And our feet need to be shod with the gospel. If somebody comes up in your face and they start bad-mouthing you and saying this, that, and the other thing and doing things to make you cranky, don't respond in kind. Just remember you got your peace feet on and respond with a loving answer, not a unloving answer. That's what we're supposed to do. Our feet are shod with peace. We're not out there looking for trouble. We're out there looking to put oil on the troubled waters. That's what we get to do. What's the next thing we get? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield of faith. I got a couple of things about shield of faith. You guys might not know this. Clay's in a band. Clay's a heck of a bass player. I mean, an awesome bass player. And he's in a band. The name of the band is Shield of Faith. The music that Shield of Faith chooses to play is not necessarily music that you folks might like. I would say you guys would be more along Glenn Miller, and they're more along Metallica. There's a difference in there. Now, the message that they sing in their songs is absolutely 100% right out of the Word of God. I mean, they go into these concerts with these metal rock and roll bands, headbanging metal rock and roll bands, talking about Satan, beautiful Satan doing this and do that and the other thing, all those evil things. And these guys come in here And they spread the gospel through that music because that music is what gets to that crowd. God, in all of his infinite wisdom, uses the power of music to reach specific groups. Now, punk. I'm not a big punk fan. I'm not, you know. But there are those that would not. We could stand up here, Nancy and I could do the most awesome song that we could ever do to try to reach this punk rocker. And all they're hearing is la, 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 la. You know, they want to hear, what are you doing with the rest of your life? Get out there, get the stripe. Blah, blah, blah. That's what they want to hear. That's where they're geared. That's what they hear. So you know what? Makes no difference to me what kind of music it is, as long as it spreads the gospel. That's why Clay and his boys, they're out there, man. They're out there fighting the battle all the time because they make no apologies for anything. They go in with these devil bands, and they play gospel rock, gospel metal, Christian metal music, and it touches people. That was a little sidebar on the shield of faith. Your shield of faith. Let's talk about our shield of faith. What is faith? Well, if we go back to Hebrews just a few books later, in chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We believe that God did all of this because God told us that, and we believe it. We have faith in that. That is, that. Do we see any of it? No, we don't. But we know it. We have experienced it. It's in our heart. We have faith that God has taken care of the situation, whatever it is. And the shield of faith, in a battle situation, a shield is used to protect you, you know? I mean, it's movable, depending on which hand you are. If you got it on your left arm, somebody's coming in to whack you with a sword, you stick it up, and they hit the shield. Or if they're trying to shoot you with an arrow, pew, they stick up the sword and, or the shield, and it catches the arrow. Well, we use our shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. What kind of fiery darts? Oh, man. You start, God uses, in this spiritual battle, we're fighting a spiritual battle, but I'm here to tell you, God uses people to fight with you. What's a great example? You're on the way to work, and you're driving down the freeway, and this yahoo cuts right in front of you and slams on the brakes, you know? You're spiritually minded, just humming along in a Christian tune, and all of a sudden this yahoo pulls in front of you, slams on the brakes, and you went from saying hallelujah to something other than hallelujah. You know, that's a fiery dart. That's a fiery dart, man, and it's real easy to fall off the Christian wagon, if you will, and respond with a worldly response. That, when that happens, that's when we take our little shield of faith, and we go, you know what? That's okay, Satan. That guy pulled in front of me, slammed on the brakes. I almost hit him. They almost hit me. That's okay. That's okay. You're God. I'm not. I got my shield of faith. I'm good. That same shield of faith comes in handy when your boss is giving you a hard time. Or believe it or not, when the evil one creeps into your spouse and they're causing problems. I'm talking for her about me. This woman's a saint. She has to be a saint, Saint Nancy, or she couldn't be married to me. That's what it boils down to. But the truth of it is that Satan will use whatever, whenever he can to cause problems. And that's why, you know, couples that love each other, they see black. The other one sees white. If you approach it in a Christian response, everything's fine. If you don't, and if I say something to her, and she gets offended, and she says to me, well, you bonehead. And blah, 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 blah. It's on. It's on. And those are those fiery darts. Those are those fiery darts that Satan, you know, goes back and forth. If your spouse says to you, you are a lunkhead idiot, you put up your shield and say, well, yeah, I'm a lunkhead and I'm an idiot, but I'm your lunkhead and I'm your idiot, and God put us together, so we're okay, you know. And you shield the fiery darts. That's just the way that it goes. That shield is there so that when the attack comes, and you can count on it coming every day, every day, every day, every day, in case you didn't hear me the first four times, every day that this is going to happen to you sometime during the day, one way or the other, you're going to be attacked. Or you're going to be given the opportunity to help fend off an attack on you or somebody else. But your shield of faith is what takes the fiery darts and gets them. Okay, what's the next thing we get? The helmet of salvation. Well, I looked into salvation a little bit, found that to be absolutely fascinating. Where is it? I love this. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes, such as justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, forgiveness, sanctification, glorification. That's all falls under the word salvation. Salvation is in three tenses. It's not like you got your salvation and you're done. Salvation is in three tenses. The believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. One. The believer has been saved and is safe and is being saved from the habits and dominions of sin. So, yeah, we're saved. That was one. That was the first tense. But we are being saved on a daily basis from our old habits, you know. And Satan knows our old habits. He tries to get you to go out and buy a bag of toot or whatever to get you wound up and back into trouble. But God is faithful to save us from that. And then last but not least, the believer is to be saved in the sense of the entire conformity to Christ. I mean, we're saved, we got saved, we have our salvation, but it's an ongoing process, you know. I don't know about you, I can't walk on water yet. Anybody here do that? Negative, because we're not there. Our job is to go to be as much as like the Lord as we can. The what would Jesus do application. All right. So, you notice all of these things that we have here thus far, all of these items are defensive items. There's not any one word in here about attacking. It's all defending yourself, standing your ground. And the last thing we have, God didn't leave us without a weapon. What is our weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when Satan comes to you and he starts beating on you, fight back with the word of God. What would Jesus do? Oh, I love this. What would Jesus do if Satan came and started picking on him? Well, hey, here we go right here. Tell you exactly what Jesus would do. It is in Matthew. Let's see, what chapter are we in? Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verse 5 through 10. This is when Jesus was being tempted. Satan knows the Bible. I don't know if you realize that or not, but Satan knows the Bible. And he will pull out things and throw them at you just to mess you up. Here we go right here. Then the devil taketh him, Jesus, into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, this is Satan quoting the Bible, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Every word of that is true. Okay? Satan's opening shot, Jesus' response. And Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Took care of that. So Satan, he's not giving up, just like he doesn't give up with you when he's trying to do you in. He keeps working on you. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus, again, answered with scripture and said, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And this is, I love this right here, okay? This is our promise. This is what we put in the bank. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Okay? So the devil took his shot. Jesus stood his ground, responded with scripture, responded with the right things. The devil had to bail. He had to. He had no way to stand in the face of that. And in light of the fact that Jesus responded the way that he was supposed to, in light of the fact that we respond the way that we're supposed to, God is faithful, and he will send angels to minister to us. Sometimes those angels come in the form of somebody walking up and saying, you know, I just wanted to tell you, appreciate what you do, and God's using you, and thank you for all that. However it works out, we get rewarded when we do things the right way. When we do what God wants us to do, God is faithful to give us that peace that passes understanding in all of these situations where there really should be no peace. And lastly, what do we have for our resources? Prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. Prayer is the thing that we have Christians have that the world does not have, cannot understand, cannot get a grip on it. Because I'm here to tell you, if, in fact, I may have said this before, and if I have, please forgive me, but it's a great illustration. If somebody that is not a Christian loses their job or has a major physical thing happen to somebody in their family or some major trauma of some sort, they got no place to go. They got no place to go. I mean, they'll talk to their friends, they'll drink, they'll try to take the pain away by, oh, geez, there are a myriad of things. I don't have to tell you. We all came out of the world, so we all know what's out there to try to take our eyes off of the pain that we're having to deal with. But God has given us prayer, because prayer, I'm telling you, when you pray about something, it's just as effective as reaching down and picking something up. You've done something. We have something that we can do. There is never a time in our Christian life that there's not something that we can do about it. What is it? Pray. Pray about it. That's what we have as our go-to situation in any time. That if you got something in your life that is dragging you down and taking you under, pray about it. God hears. God answers. Does he always answer the way we want? Nope, not at all. So here's the way I've finally ended up praying. God, this is what I'd like to see happen, A, B, and C. But I know that you're God, and if you don't want A, B, or C to happen, then D's fine with me because you're God and I'm not. But if I get to pick, God, I'd like to see A, B, and C happening. That way I've told God what I'd like. You know, he knows where I'm coming from, but I've had said right there in my prayer, that's what I'd like to see happen, but you're God and I'm not. So whatever you want, that's what I want to happen. So in all of that, we have safety and security and peace that passes all understanding, because we're not fighting this battle in ourselves. We're fighting this. God's fighting it for us. And all we're doing is standing there and saying, sick 'em, Jesus. because that's what it's about. We're not supposed to go attack. We're supposed to just stand. When it comes to get you, you just stand there and you take it. And you fight back with the things that God has given you. I've heard this sermon brought multiple times, and I've heard people talk about the fact that there's no armor in your back. No armor in your back. Why is there no armor in your back? Well, because you're not supposed to run. I'll admit, I've had to turn and run. You know, I mean, I'll have situations of where God gave me a friend in my job, and he's a good Christian brother. And there are days that, you know I'm saved by grace. There's not a doubt. I know everything that I've just talked about. I know it. I live it. I breathe it. I know it to be true. I know it to be true. And even with all that, there are days that things just don't feel right. You can feel it weighing on you. You can feel it pressing you down. Those are the times that, you know, I look at that in my way. I'm not standing fighting. I'm getting whooped right now. I don't understand why I feel this bad, but I do feel this bad, and I can't get over this, God. I know you're God. I know you're in charge and all that. That's when God has given us Christian brothers and sisters to call and talk to and say, hey, you know, I got an issue here. I know God's taking care of it, but I mean, I'm just depressed. I'm worn down. I'm whatever. Well, your brothers and sisters are there to pray with you to get you through it. The reason that there's no, I love this. The reason that there's no armor on the backside, God's got your back. And that's it. God's got your back. If you turn and run to the Father, God's got your back. You're running to your dad. Dad, they're picking on me. Yeah, son, I know they are. Come here. And just like a daddy, we're able to crawl up into God's lap, and he throws his holy arms around us and gives us the strength that we need to make it to the next place, because we are not strong in ourselves. The only real strength that we have is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Nancy, if you'll come and tickle the ivories, as the saying goes, we have everything we need to win the battle. We have everything we need to win the battle. In fact, we have everything we need to win the battle and then some, okay? But, oh, here's a good analogy. We have everything to win the battle and then some, all right? You can have a bazooka that will blow up that building across the street, but I'm here to tell you, that building's not going to blow up unless you put the bazooka on your shoulder and pull the trigger, okay? We've got the tools to fight with, but they won't work if you don't use them. You know, if you've got the ability to go to the Lord in a situation and you don't, then that's on you. You know, God has told us how to get through these things. We put ourselves through a whole lot more than we have to. The song that she's playing right now, I Surrender All. That's the ticket. That's the ticket. When things start to get up against you and you're fighting like crazy and you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that and you're trying to do the other thing, that's a wrong way, man. Our feet are shod with peace. So we don't want to fight. We surrender. We give it to God. Okay? Huh. We don't give in. We give up, okay? That's not quitting. That's not giving in. That's giving up. We give it up to the Lord, our Savior, who takes care of it and gives us the peace and the wisdom and the guidance to get through to the next spot. If you'll all bow your heads. Is there anybody here that this morning will say, you know what, I'm fighting a battle, and it's been gnarly, and I haven't done necessarily as well as I could. Would you pray for me? Help me to put my armor back on and get it into the right place. Is there anybody that would raise your hand? I see that hand. 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 I see hands all over the place. My hand's in the air because we have all been in that position. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a word of invitation. And the altars are open. These altars are here for one reason. These altars are here to be used to take the things that are heavy on your heart and to be able to lay them on that altar and know that God sees what you put on that altar, and God is faithful to lift that weight off of you. And he will replace the pressure that you're dealing with the peace of the Holy Spirit. You got to do your part. You got to do your part. God will not force you to do anything. He will let you do many things. And he will honor you in many things, but you got to do your part. It's like the bazooka. It won't fire if you don't pull the trigger. So, while we sing this